From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. Very loud studio audience today for some strange and odd reason. I have no idea why
they're extra excited.
Super excited right now for some strange and odd reason. Let's just test that one more time. Still super, super excited live studio audience to be live and in the studio. Coeur d'Alene man was arrested and accused of planning to attack a local church and supporting ISIS. That's bad times. The Washington, what's going on? Aren't we supposed to have music underneath this as I'm speaking right now?
Thank you,
my friend. Appreciate that. Washington gun sales spike and then plummet as new laws take effect. We should talk about the high capacity gun magazines being ruled unconstitutional. I'm very happy about this, but I'm also very hesitant to use any of my buttons here because it's literally causing me to go deaf.
Let's be careful with that then.
Should we, Laura, is there a way that we can fix this issue? Because I have my buttons that I can't use, that I need my buttons. So, Washington's ban on high capacity gun magazines has been ruled unconstitutional, Mr. O'Neill. What say you, is the gun hating lib in the room? As a person who despises firearms, as a person who can't stand it when Americans get their freedom sticks to use, what's going on here? Because when I have my high-capacity magazines, all 400 of them that I have, I polish them. They each have individual names.
Oh.
I've named them after movie stars from the 1950s. So I've got a Hayworth, got a Brando in there. Yeah,
awesome.
My favorites, and I call them my freedom sticks. And for some strange and odd reason, you hate my freedom sticks, and I would use my punctuation inception drop here, but I'm worried that if I do that, I will blow out everybody's car radio speakers.
Yeah.
So
I say leave it to a judge in Cowlitz County. when you want a broad spectrum of thinking and representing every man in the state of Washington,
yes,
nay the whole country, you go to Cowlitz County and you find the judge who will take it your way. And I love that this judge wants a historical law on the books to say that the founding fathers anticipated technological advances in firearms.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have had something on the books. If you want to ban a high capacity magazine, show me a precedent, show me law. From around the time that the Second Amendment was written,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So you got something on parchment written in quill that says you don't have an 8-ball speed loader for your musket, then I'll say you can ban my high-capacity magazine.
Well, I think the argument, Spike, basically works down like this. Like, let's do a little bit of the old Socratic method here.
Okay.
Why do you think that, and this isn't like a challenge. This is just a fun game, so you don't need to get tense.
No.
Whenever we talk about guns, I'm
melting in your presence. Flakish.
This is what happens: is whenever you talk about libs who hate guns, whenever you talk about guns with them, they get really tight. And so this is why I think this is just a fun game for you and I to play.
I appreciate that.
Stakes are very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that we need to ban high capacity magazines?
I think that the intent of the Second Amendment for protection,
mm-hmm.
For recreation,
mm-hmm.
Didn't anticipate the efficiency
mm-hmm.
with which ne'er-do-wells could wreak havoc on a society. And mm-hmm. the people who are the victims of this excessive violence have as much right to not be
mm-hmm.
as the guy with the 12 different 10 packs of bulletproof ammo or hollow point ammo.
So when it comes to rights,
mm-hmm.
you think that because the times have changed and technology has changed,
mm-hmm.
we need to reinterpret those rights based on the way that people feel.
Based on the...
Because you said that makes people feel like people have the right to not be around.
That's not about feelings. That's
okay.
About my kid has... I'm trying not to get amped up.
Mm-hmm.
You said it's a fun exercise. I'm trying not to spin out
just
of control.
For fun. No, just for funsies.
I hear you.
Just for funsies.
I think my kid has a right to go to school safely.
So
not just feel safe, but to be safe.
Do you remember... Okay, so how many bullets are in a high-capacity magazine?
I have no idea, Jack.
Let's say 30.
That seems like a high number to me.
Okay, so do you remember the scene from the Boondock Saints?
I love that movie.
You remember when the bull shows up and
mm-hmm.
he opens up his jacket?
Yeah.
How many guns has on?
Oh, God, 12?
Dozens,
right? Yeah.
How many bullets do you think are in all those guys?
Oh, probably 200 more.
So you see, he's taking them out, he's
mm-hmm.
firing them, doesn't reload, he drops them.
Right.
Matrix style, right?
Yeah.
So in that scene, which is about, 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
how many bullets get fired off in that scene?
1,000 or more.
So point being is that when you try to go after something like a high capacity magazine,
mm-hmm.
all you're doing is saying to a ne'er-do-well that they could just go out and get 5 guns and then they don't have to reload, right?
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Yeah, true.
If you look at, and you might be saying, well, that's a ridiculous thing. How could somebody do that? That's what the Isla Vista shooter did, right?
When he purchased
all his guns. He had four of them. All were purchased legally.
Yeah, right?
He also had the extended magazines and two of them. So when you say, when this is the issue that a lot of gun rights activists like myself have with these kinds of laws, is that when you use the argument that it's under the guise of safety, well, that's just not necessarily true in application, right? Again, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about how the Cowlitz County judge ruled Washington's ban on high-capacity magazines was unconstitutional, and we can all have guns again. I would be using all my drops, but I'm worried for everybody else's hearing out there. I can use them again? Yes, I can use my drops. We got guns, baby.
Oh, it's
live
a better
studio
day now.
Audience.
Yeah, it feels better now. It does. I would push back that, you know, if a guy's got a drop a gun and reach for a second gun, right? Or a third or fourth or fifth gun. That might be the moment that someone trying to stop this carnage could get to the shooter.
Okay.
And stop the carnage from happening as opposed to a guy having 30 in the clip.
So, Spike, this would be my analysis of it. I don't think it has anything to do with the amount of bullets that are in any particular gun. I think what it has to do with largely is that gun violence makes people very sad. It harms Americans when gun violence occurs.
Yes.
And so then in an attempt to assuage those feelings of sadness or guilt or fear or whatever it is, we piecemeal out whatever it is about the Second Amendment, and then we say, well, this kind of gun is okay, but this one is not, or this kind of a magazine is okay, but this one is not. I'll give you another example. If I got a bunch of magazines in their 10-round capacity, and I can do the hip shot change that we saw Val Kilmer do in the heat, right?
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying here, Spike? Like, with a minimal amount of training that I can find on YouTube, I can teach myself how to do that shake where the magazine exits and I instantly put the next one in. When you say, well, that could be the amount of time that somebody stops the carnage, half a second? You know what I mean, Spike?
When you say,
I want people to be safe or whatever, that is not an argument that is useful because then I can apply that to basically anything. I can then say, well, let's look at the Canadian incel who ran a U-Haul truck into 30 people. Shouldn't I have the right to feel safe from U-Haul trucks? We could talk about the guy in Japan who ran through the mall with just a set of steak knives. He killed 13 people just with steak knives. Shouldn't I be allowed to be safe as I'm walking through the mall? Like, in my mind about it, Spike, I'm not trying to dunk on you. What I'm asking you
feels
for...
Feels good, though, doesn't it? It does feel good.
What I'm asking you for is a better argument aside from... I want people to feel safe.
No, because
I want to feel safe, but I've got crows swooping down on my head. Do we ban crows? Like, this is not a good argument just in terms of rhetoric. You have to give me a legitimate logistical reason as to why it makes any difference between 30 rounds in one magazine or 30 rounds in three magazines. Because from all the research that I have done, I see no reason why that should be the case.
I would just say that for the vast majority of mass shootings, they're not highly skilled gun technicians like Val Kilmer in Heat. They're crazy, broken 18-year-olds who need mental health assistance, come from bad homes. Those guys, that could be the moment. That could be the moment where someone stops the carnage. It's happened on numerous occasions.
Did you see? Okay, so the trans shooter who broke into the church in Tennessee.
Oh yeah.
Did you see any of the internet history, search history from that person?
I didn't look into
it. It was all gun training.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean, man?
Like, yeah, no,
so,
I hear
so
you,
when
but
you
I hear
say
you.
Like, oh well, it's some damaged 18, like you're creating, in a sense, you're creating a fiction. The El Paso shooter in Texas did the exact same thing. Like, you have to understand that the only thing that's going to assuage anybody's guilt or their fear around firearms, or in some cases their animus towards firearms, is the realization that you can keep yourself safe. And one of those circumstances is where you have a gun. But the other one of those circumstances is to be aware of your circle or be aware of your surroundings and to know what's actually going on. Like, I don't want anybody to die from gun violence, but I'm not willing to take away someone's access to high capacity magazines just because it makes me feel better in the moment, right?
I hear you. We'll agree to disagree because I feel strongly about the way I look at this. I look at this that there's numerous states that have banned high capacity magazines. The ban was deemed unconstitutional by a Cowlitz judge. Bob Ferguson filed a countersuit that's been put on a stay while it's being appealed. So, and Ferguson says, and I'm not always agreeing with Bob Ferguson, but that every time this has been challenged, it's been either overruled or deemed unconstitutional. These bans, they hold up. They are deemed constitutional. They hold up in court. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, you're right about gun laws don't stop criminals. They stop most often law-abiding citizens from exercising their Second Amendment rights.
Right.
It's impossible to argue against that.
Right.
But also, I give another shallow, empty, bad faith argument that we've got speeding laws on the books, but people still speed. Doesn't mean we shouldn't have speeding laws. Doesn't mean we shouldn't have drunk driving laws just because people still break the rules.
Right. And that would therein lie the point, right? So, like, I suppose that my counterargument to that would be, if we look at the frequency of speeding and the frequency of drunk driving, it is disproportionate to the numbers of mass shootings which are committed by high-capacity magazines. Does that make sense?
Yes, truly.
The vast majority of gun violence in the United States is committed with handguns, the vast majority of it. And then, like, third or fourth on the list is assault rifles with high-capacity magazines.
Yeah.
It goes handguns, shotguns, hunting rifles, and then, you know, assault rifles. But for some reason, people have fixated on assault rifles, not realizing that if you really want to solve gun violence in the United States, you're going to have to go after 9mm. You're going to have to go after 38s. That's not me speaking. That's the DOJ speaking. Yeah, I mean, look at the crime statistics out of Chicago, right? It's all handguns. So speaking of crime, by the way, Coeur d'Alene man was arrested and accused of planning to attack local churches and supporting ISIS. You're about, 6 years behind Alexander Scott Mercurio when it comes to ISIS. He has allegedly pledged allegiance to ISIS.
He wanted to send him money. Did he miss the part where they're financed by billionaire oil magnates from radical Islamic governments?
Yeah, I feel like maybe
the $20 from this kid's going to make a difference.
I don't necessarily think that Alex Scott Mercutio really understands what ISIS is. So he's facing 20 years in prison. He's probably deeply, deeply mentally ill, if I had to assume. He was arrested on Saturday, April 6th, the day before he allegedly planned to attack a local church. According to court documents, these plans included attacking his father, stealing his guns, and then carrying out a suicide attack on churches in Coeur d'Alene. His plan involved using a quote-unquote flame sword, which is a very, I suppose, Islamic
reference.
Explosive knives, machete, pipe, and ultimately firearms. So what do you do with someone like this? I think this is the best outcome for this kind of circumstance, right? This is somebody who was uncovered from doing this from the investigation from the FBI. If you're looking at this kind of thing and you're wondering, like, how do we stop gun violence? It's funding police. It's funding these kind of organizations. It's not saying defund or dismantle the FBI, which is a crazy right-wing talking point, by the way. That one is just going, I have no idea why everyone got so hopped up on defund the FBI, because they had the audacity to, you know, investigate Donald Trump. Oh, no, defund the FBI. I won't stand for it. You're looking into somebody.
It's been weaponized, Jack.
So now you see that the FBI actually did a lot of work to save a lot of lives. And, I mean, it's a horrific plan. It is, it's awful. I'm glad he was stopped, and I'm glad that didn't go through.
And red flag laws wouldn't have affected this kid, but it is, because red flag laws keep people from getting guns when they've shown proclivities to say extreme things or pursue extreme ideology. Right?
I'm extreme. I've got extreme ideas.
But thank goodness for the stupidity of criminals, or at least the ignorance of a sick mind and how it interacts with society. Because they saw this guy was sending out messages of his plans. He was talking to people online about how much he loves the ISIS and how much he wants to be part of the movement and how he's going to carry out his plans online. Right.
So I think oftentimes what will happen with people when they're in this amount of psychological distress, because this is someone who's in psychological distress, is that they will outline. Let me back up a little bit. They will disassociate from themselves and create a persona in which they enact this kind of stuff with other people, meaning that they go on the internet and they live in this fantasy world where I'm going to join ISIS and I'm going to get a flame sword and this is all emotional distress. I hope he doesn't get 20 years. My hope is that he ends up in a mental institution so he can get balanced out on some meds and so he can have some time to maybe meet Jesus. I don't know. But there's
is there anything to the cry for help mentality of a guy like this reaching out?
That's what that is, right? If you're going on Twitch or if you're going on Discord servers to talk about your plan to shoot up churches, as if the FBI doesn't monitor those,
right,
you are out of your mind, right? So, and it also, 18 years old. This is someone who I would guess has a long history of psychological abuse, physical abuse, possibly even sexual abuse, who is manifesting a power fantasy externally. And thankfully, nobody got hurt as a result of that. But again, you know, I do think that it's amazing how often people will say things like defund the FBI or get rid of this bureaucratic organization, or it, you know, the fish stinks from the head down, or whatever it is that people say.
Hear it all the time.
And then they do stuff like this where they prevent a mass shooting and death and murder, and nobody says anything.
They do that on a daily basis. The things we never hear about.
The
internal workings and mechanisms of the FBI that keep us safe every day of our lives.
Right. Right. Moving on. The Seattle City Council's most recent economic forecast, not doing so much to assuage any budget anxiety facing City Hall. There's too much money going out and not enough coming in, basically, is the long and the short of it, right? I mean, you're looking at a drop-off in the amount of projects that are going to be initiated because they just can't afford it. It's, I think the main issue that you have here is that you have basically a city that's willing to spend way too much on some programs and not so much on other programs. It's too frenetic. It's too spread out. There's no overarching goal for the city as a whole.
Well, too many problems and too much cold and not enough blanket.
Yeah, pretty much.
To go around, you know. And I talked to a guy who told me 3 years ago when the pandemic was in its full swing, and guys, I guess this is going to be bad for a long time. We're going to be out of the pandemic long before the awful effects of a closed down economy. This is kind of what we're feeling. This is a lack of revenue into the city's coffers from taxation or spending or whatever it may be. And it, you know, when a python eats a pig, it takes a long time for the pig to move through the python. You literally watch it move through the python.
Yeah,
right?
Or when it eats Owen Wilson, it takes a long time to work through that
Owen's
anaconda.
Almost through the anaconda now.
Yeah.
But I mean, hopefully there's something on the far end of this is a city that's recovered. I mean, the things the city's spending money on, you're right, there's obviously misuse of funds, that we spend too much money on crazy stuff. But they'll come a day in the future when we get the city back and it's a different city than we have, but it's still a city we love, that you can visit safely, that spends money, that earns money. It's just, we're at the back end of the snake.
Yeah, $240 million deficit for 2025. That's rough stuff. We'll take a really quick break. Speaking of rough stuff, Billy Sunshine has yet to be voted off the show, which is something that I desperately need Billy to be voted off the show. Because Brian won't stop giving me guff about it. He's like, I'm not so sure what his role is on the show. I'm not so sure what character he plays on the show. And I'm like, Brian, I can't have Billy play a character. He's an insane person. He's an insane coastal elite lib who says insane things. He has no filter. How can you control a wild horse? How can you do that? You can't.
Well, you trust the people, and so far the people keep speaking. They
the
keep
people
saying,
like Billy, Brian. Yeah. What do you want me to do? We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with Mr. Sunshine when we get back right after this. Ah, yes, Mr. Billy Sunshine, a man so unpredictable and so unhinged that my own program director wasted 10 minutes of my life in our show meeting saying, so what's the deal with Billy? What's Billy's character? I just don't understand what his role is on the show. So now we do this fun game every single time Billy is on, which I am desperately hoping will be not the case after today, where we try to vote Billy off the island. We leave it up to the audience. Vox Populi. If you want Billy to stay, you got to text stay. If you want Billy to go, you text go or something therein. How are you, Mr. Sunshine? Are you well today?
It's a little hard finding my way to the phone. I tried being Donald Trump yesterday and look at the sun directly during the eclipse, and it didn't work out so well.
Billy, you know, that's my favorite image of Donald Trump is him doing the exact same thing. You know, John Adams went partially blind as a result of looking at an eclipse.
I didn't know that.
True story, my friend. John Adams had enough brain cells, just like Trump did, to look directly at the sun and go some permanent cornea damage. So, Billy, what do you make of this story? What is this out of? The Washington Post, talking about Nick Adams, who people are calling the Trump surrogate.
Adams. We're talking about Adams today. Okay,
yes.
Let me understand.
Yeah.
So, Nick Adams, I love Johnny Yuma. He was so good in that. The Rebel, you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Geez, Billy. Wait, that's a great reference that nobody got.
I didn't even get it.
Okay.
I'm
it's a movie.
Really, Spike? You don't remember Johnny Yuma, the Rebel? All right, never mind. So anyway, so this clown, Nick Adams.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a quote of his, and it's going to tell you everything you know about this guy. Try this one for size.
Okay.
Here's the quote. Raise your daughters to be graceful women of class like Melania Trump, not promiscuous Jezebels like Taylor Swift.
Wow. So people are saying that Nick Adams is basically Trump's surrogate in a lot of different places. He considers himself to be an alpha male, which, as we all know, is a huge red flag when someone identifies themselves as an alpha male. He talks about his love for Hooters. Yep.
It's performance art, isn't it?
Yeah, in a lot of ways. Real. No, but I think that people should maybe understand that, like, you know, this is how politics is done now, where you have commentators who talk about politics and they talk about government, but they view their job as being influencers in the same way that LeBron exactly. James is an influencer for Nike or whatever it is. Yeah. And so this is what this guy's role has become. And I do think that people should be concerned about it because it's very charismatic people mm-hmm. who come out and they start talking about Bernie Sanders, or they start talking about Donald Trump or whatever it is. And their job is effectively to be a salesman and to reinforce the idea that your thought process about this person is correct. It's not to have an adult conversation about it in any way, shape, or form.
So he's very specific. He's aimed at one, young men.
Yes.
Where he's being aimed at. Do you remember Tom Likas, radio guy?
Yeah, of course, no Tom Likas.
And Tom Likas was like Nick Adams. Basically, he spoke to young men who were having trouble with women.
Yeah.
Couldn't, you know, bad haircuts, couldn't get laid. That's what his problem was. And, you know, that's who Nick Adams speaks to. Men who need to be toxic males because they can't just be a regular male. They got to talk about how they eat steak.
Yeah.
And tell women how to live.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is what, the last gasp of the patriarchy?
Well, I mean, Billy, you got to think about it more like this, is that there are so many disaffected young men out there who suffer and they are largely ignored. And then you have these men who come in and they say, yeah, you're suffering because you suck and you need to eat more steak and drink more whiskey. You're suffering because you're lame. And just the acknowledgement that they're suffering is enough to get these guys to gravitate towards them, whether it's Andrew Tate or Nick Adams or any of these kinds of figures. So yeah. When I look at this, I view it more so as what we have is within the United States, which is an epidemic of loneliness amongst men. And then finally, exactly. There's a guy who comes out and he says, you can have everything you want. All you got to do is be a total jerk about it.
Club her over the head and drag her back to your cave.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, you ask yourself why all these young men are lonely. Because they don't know how to interact with the opposite sex because they've been staring at their... Hold on, let me finish this.
No, that's not accurate, Billy.
Okay.
Because Spike, that's not accurate at all.
Listen to the old man.
The reason that they're lonely is because when men talk about suffering, they do exactly what you do, Spike, which is that they demean people and you put them down and you say, deal with it, right? Or you don't know how to deal with it. You don't know how to talk to women. Blah, 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 blah. That if a woman says, I'm suffering, we all drop to our knees and we say, how can we help you? A man says that he's suffering and what do we say? Toughen up. It's your fault. You got to bad haircut. This is why we have an epidemic of loneliness, you guys. It's because you guys don't know how to reach out to young men and just listen to them. You automatically label them as being sick or damaged or whatever it is, and then you demean them.
So my point was, guys, these young men who you said are lonely, right? Who need to be, no one recognizes them, right? It might just be a really bad take on my part, which is pretty likely. It seems to me that they're lonely and don't have relationships with girls because they don't know how to treat women with respect or the equality. And Nick Adams is telling these guys, go ahead, you know, talk, just be a man, macho up. Tell, you know, we dismiss the waiter. Send me a sexy waitress. I don't want to talk to a waiter. You know, let's insult people and offend people and be brave and confident in our doing so. That's going to just further pushes guys off the right track.
It does.
Yeah, you know, let's recognize that being a damaged little boy is a real thing, and it requires us to love them, not
yes.
to hate them.
Yeah, exactly. That is my point about it, is that all too often what we have when we talk about the suffering of men is we have people who laugh at it, or they attribute it to some kind of flaw in moral character or social ability. And then they, again, put the onus on that individual to fix that problem rather than just listening. The amount of men who talk about their inability to express feelings, it's not because they don't know how to do it. It's because nobody gives them the opportunity to do it. And then some jerk shows up in a bad suit wearing bad cologne. And he says, yeah, don't be around promiscuous women. They're lame. Those are people who are really bringing you down. And that guy who has no self-esteem, no confidence goes, yeah, you're right. Finally, somebody's listening to me, right? But it's really not being listened to. It's being propagandized to, and it's being pandered to. So,
but don't you think that opinion, the thing when he says, that when he tries to honor Melania Trump over a woman who really made herself, a self-made woman, as opposed to a woman who attached herself to a disgusting human being so she could have some money, I mean, it just puts the lie to everything that Nick Adams stands for. It shows it to be just what it is, an act.
I find Melania to be a debonair and austere woman who is a self-made millionaire before she met Donald Trump. But that's because I read Billy. Is Billy voted off the island today, or is Billy staying?
Billy is definitively staying.
No!
I actually got eight votes alone from Unicycle Mike.
No.
Wait a minute.
Which I did only count as one.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't want Billy. Billy needs to go. Because I have a show meeting with Brian tomorrow, and Brian's going to say, what's Billy's character on the show? And then I'm going to have to say, what do you want me to do? Thank you, Mr. Sunshine. Appreciate it. Love you, my friend. I'll call you later this afternoon and yell at you more.
I'm looking for my tea now. I'm looking for testosterone. I'll find some.
I can't understand what you're saying. You have to take those cookies out of your mouth.
For his teeth, he said.
I want to be more like Nick Adams. I'm going to take more testosterone.
Okay, good. Jason Rantz has an article talking about how the Seattle Times canceled an $18,000 ad buy because it promoted a church. But my thought about it is if they don't want the business, they could turn it down. But I guess some people were saying, hey, I mean, you're equal opportunity advertising. Why don't you just take the money and run? We'll talk about it when we get back right after this. I've been saying it for quite some time and nobody believes me. Christians are under attack in this country. Can't do anything. Can't go to church anymore. Can't go on Fox News or CNN talk about Jesus anymore. You can't go out anywhere talk about Jesus. You can't even yell about Jesus in the middle of the street. You know what I'm talking about, Spike? Homeless person down on Pike Place Market. Someone was just screaming their head off about Jesus Christ. The Gestapo came and took them away. That's right. True story. That for sure happened. You can't talk about Christ anywhere, not even in the Seattle Times, our beloved newspaper. A local pastor tried to take out an ad for $18,500, and he wanted to get a big one for Easter Sunday because, you know, Jesus reads the Seattle Times. And
spends time in the holy restroom.
He does. And so, but the problem was that he originally wanted to put an ad up that said War on Hell. And then Revival or We Die, which is maybe one of the worst things to put on an ad about Jesus. Here's the thing about Christendom, if I could just point this out really quick. Some people get really metal with it, and it's not that cool. Do you know what I mean? They get really dark with it. They get really Dio with it, really Black Sabbath with it.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like Christ is about, you know, like love and acceptance and you know, love others as you love yourself, so on and so forth. But they keep doing this thing where they try to make it like a Pantera record. War on Hell, Revival or We Die.
Lots of flame in the artwork,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, lots of flames in the artwork. And I'm like, you know, I don't know about you guys, but like, do you guys think that Christ would be cool with all this like war and death talk? I don't really think he would
Jesus
be.
Jesus throw up the horns for your movement there?
I don't think that Christ would be too keen on this whole thing. But anyway, they changed those and then eventually they shifted that to grave is empty. Jesus is risen, which is grammatically incorrect, and Jesus abhors poor grammar. Goes on to say, Jesus still saves, heals, and delivers in 30 minutes or less, and hope for every sinner were included in the copy. Now, my assessment of this, why did the Seattle Times decide not to run this ad? It's their private business. I don't care.
Yeah.
If they don't want to run an ad for $18,000, it shouldn't be, they shouldn't have to. I mean, they just said it didn't fit with the ethics of the paper, so they returned the money, and that was the end of that, right?
So, to your point about the original text of War on Hell, you know, Revival or Die, that was submitted to the paper a month before publication date.
Right.
The church in question over there on, I think they have like three different locations, they worked with the editorial and sales department at the Seattle Times, made the changes accordingly, was approved by management, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
They had one of those fold-over ads when you get the Sunday paper. There's that thing that you just can't avoid. It's the first thing you look at and the last thing you look at goes around, like it like wraps around the whole paper itself. And then 2 days before it was supposed to run on Easter Sunday, the owner of the Times stepped in, and he made the it's my paper, I'll put what I want decision in to say that it was a little too divisive. And they offered the church a lesser prominently featured ad. Some were stuck inside between tire ads and air conditioners that fewer people would see. Offered to give them up some free digital space on the Times website. Mm. That didn't fly either. And so these guys were told 2 days before running, after investing time and effort and money into putting this ad together, working with the Times, no can do, pal. Sorry, he's not raising this weekend. He's staying.
So what's your analysis of this, Spike, other than going over the story again? other than repeating all the details that I went over, what was your take on it, my friend?
I think, to your point, the business has a right to do what they want to do, but they did it in a horrible way, and they probably owe the church a little compensation for the time spent.
A horrible way? Why do you think a horrible way? I mean, they just decided, like,
If you're going to take an ad a month ahead of time, work with the company to make the ad fit all your parameters, then you should run the ad. If you decide you don't want to run the ad, do it when they initially offer it. Don't approve it a month ahead of time. Cancel it at the 11th hour. It gives them no time to come up with any kind of counter advertising or anything.
I don't really see it that way. I think that if you are doing business in this way, and then 2 days beforehand, the editor comes out and says, you know what, actually, we've thought about this and we don't really want to do it anymore. They are owed that money back. Like, for instance, let us just say that someone wanted to advertise on this show and they paid out for the month or the 7 months or whatever it is. And 2 days beforehand, the owners of Bonneville comes in and they say, we're not comfortable with you guys running those ads. Well, we made the copy and we did the ads or whatever. It doesn't make any difference to me. They own it, right? So they get to make that decision. Or let us just say that Jim Richmond, our sales manager, says, you know what, this kind of advertising doesn't fit with the ethos of this station. That's within his purview to do so. I think that this weird kind of, well, they owe them something for canceling it, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Being that, yeah, sure, they sent the copy back and forth, but you understand in a business that deal can end at any point in time. That's what you sign up for, right?
Yeah, but canceling of any contract should come with consequences, right?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I mean...
that's cool. That's a valid way to feel.
I just don't think... in my mind, it's, you know, shake hands, meet in the middle. Sorry, it didn't work out. That's the end of that. And now, not only that, but now the church gets great advertising because they get to complain about it. Makes the Seattle Times look worse. So I think it's a win-win for everybody across the board. Am I right or am I right? Like, this is a... It's pretty clear to me that, you know, I think the church, in a sense, was almost trolling by going to the Seattle Times, which is notoriously left-wing.
Mm.
And so I think that they were looking for something like this kind of this, because why would you submit, what was it again, the awful copy that they submitted?
Oh, the War on Hell or?
Yeah. Why would you submit copy that says War on Hell, Revival or We Die to a liberal newspaper without, I think you have to think about this in a more three-dimensional way. I think that they knew that by doing this, that they were going to get pushback against it. And the Seattle Times just decided to play ball for a couple of weeks before then they realized, oh, you know what? This is actually kind of trolly. That's my assessment of it.
And then the church goes to media and gets more coverage than the front page out of the Times ever would have got.
Exactly.
You're right. You probably looked at it a little deeper.
Exactly my point. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, everybody is blaming somebody else for Seattle's punishingly high delivery app fees. I blame Spike for ordering so much takeout. Most Washington voters think building more housing won't cool prices. A poll shows, but who cares about polls? And Trump has said some pretty awful things about Jews once or twice, but this most recent one is really bad. It's like bad in a way that I can't physically describe, but I'll try when we get back right after this.